Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We're in our sixth and final message within this series that we've called Higher, looking at the Sermon on the Mount, the words that Jesus articulated, that Matthew recorded and placed in his gospel in chapters 5, 6, and 7. Next week we begin this special season of Lent, but today, one final day, we want to allow these words of Jesus just to kind of come in and allow it to just do what it did back then 2,000 years ago, to turn our idea of the kingdom narrative upside down and to be properly placed in the vision and the correct idea of what God's law is for us. I've challenged you over the course of this series to find yourself in those three chapters throughout the week. I hope that you've taken me up on that you've opened up your scriptures at home or opened up your Bible app at home and have allowed yourself to be just saturated with Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as we just listen for what God has for us. I said it like this today as I was speaking with someone. I feel that this is the gospel narrative in its essence, and the rest of the gospel is just kind of how that plays out, how it really gets practical. But Jesus is laying out such incredible wisdom in these three chapters, in this one sermon. We know that at this point in history, as we've shared every week of this message, that at this point, Jesus has invited his disciples to journey with him. He's been traveling throughout the region of Galilee. He's been going into synagogues and teaching, and he's been in the villages healing every known disease. He's been attracting a crowd wherever he goes because people love his message and they love his power and authority. We began this series by hearing the words of Jesus that said we are to be salt and light, people of influence and authority. We have heard throughout this series a call to love instead of hate, a call to be pure instead of people of lust, a call to give into hope, allow hope to rule us over our anxiety, because this, Jesus says, is a kingdom of light, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of purity, a kingdom of hope. In this kingdom that Jesus is articulating, there is no room for darkness. There's no room for hatred. There's no room for lust or anxiety. And then last week, we heard the words of Jesus talk to us and help us rediscover the power and influence of prayer that says, trust in God. That there's this opportunity for us to say that prayer expresses God, you know best. God's kingdom, as Jesus proclaimed in these words, has come to them who are listening, and to us today. There's so much in these three chapters of Matthew that, again, I hope that God has revealed extra special things to you as you've engaged in these words. But as we come into chapter 7, Jesus is making his concluding remarks. The hardest part for me in a sermon writing process is the conclusion. Jesus brings us down to a very specific point as he is bringing this home. And he begins to distinguish between the self-righteous, and the genuine disciples of Christ. See, the self-righteous follow God's law in order to prove their devotion. But genuine disciples of Christ follow God's love and allow it to transform their devotion. Self-righteous keep record of their rights and the wrongs of others. But genuine disciples of Christ seek mercy and discover ways to extend that to others. The self-righteous allow their pride to dominate their faith. But genuine disciples of Christ continually die to self and discover life in Christ alone. This is where the line is drawn in the sand, considering as Jesus articulates a gate and a road. Jesus says this, "You can enter God's kingdom only through a narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult. Only few ever find it." This is not easy text to preach in a church that we're hoping to attract and grow and see other people come to know the Lord. We're talking about a narrow road, not an easy road. As a matter of fact, the teaching of choosing life over death was founded in the Jewish community. This was not necessarily new teaching for those who are hearing this for the first time. Often through the law and through the prophets, God has encouraged His people to choose a path of life and a path of blessing. But in this teaching, Jesus clearly marks the difference between these two paths, because He says one is large and easy to find, one is small and difficult. And the problem for us is that the easier path is not the one that leads to life. In fact, the easy path, the wide gate, actually opens up toward a highway of destruction. Many of us have been watching the news this week coming from our brothers and sisters in Christ out of the United Methodist Church, as they have debated many positions, as we do as well in the Nazarene Church. The thing that dominated their consideration this week was their position on the inclusion of the LGBTQ community, especially as it relates to performing weddings of same-sex marriages and also ordaining ministers. And I have read in the Facebook threads, maybe you have as well, many in America who have been outspoken against their decision to maintain what they've labeled as a strict biblical interpretation which continues the ban of ministers solemnizing same-sex marriages and prohibiting openly homosexuals from being ordained. I'm not here to open this can of worms necessarily, or to debate this topic. I recognize that for all of us, this is very personal. This topic alone has touched many of our lives very, very closely. So I am in no way trying to make a statement about a particular position. I want to use this debate, the struggle that our brothers and sisters have gone through, as an analogy for us to understand something today. Followers of Christ have been challenged to follow a narrow path. A narrow path, not a wide one. The biblical standard that has been set for us is largely and simply a mandate to love all people, right? This is throughout God's Word. Yet, we also recognize that not all people will choose a path that leads to God and righteousness. A path that Jesus challenges us to walk is often not popular. And there are many issues that the Church of Jesus will debate and not necessarily agree upon. Ultimately, what Jesus tells us in His Word is that we are to be a people who seek after Him. That's it. That we be a people who seek after Him. In John chapter 10, Jesus speaks about this with a similar analogy of a shepherd and a gate. See, Middle Eastern shepherds would not drive their sheep. Middle Eastern shepherds would actually go out in front and lead their sheep by using their voice. And Jesus says, His sheep will know His voice and follow Him towards safety of the pen, walking through the gate as He calls them. And then He proclaims, which they all understood that analogy, but then He proclaims something quite controversial at the time when He says this in verse 9. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through Me will be saved. They will come in and go freely and find good pastures. Then, in verse 14, He goes on to say, I am the good shepherd. I know My own sheep, and they know Me, just as the Father knows Me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice My life for the sheep. The path to discovering the narrow road is to develop a life that is listening for the voice of the shepherd and not the voice of popular opinion or what feels right. And I'm saying this in the broadest tense possible. We are to be a people who listen for the voice of God. But I got to be honest with you. I got to confess to you here a little bit. I get a little freaked out when I read some of God's Word. And I wonder sometimes, have I always listened to the right voice? Maybe there have been times where I've listened to the wrong voice or chosen the wrong way. And maybe you're like me and you recognize it. It's easy to feel this way, especially when Jesus says words like this in Matthew 7. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. And get away from me, you who break God's laws. This can put our heart right through our throats, right? Anybody else with me in this? I mean, I've never even feel like I've achieved enough spirituality to cast out demons. I've tried to do a lot in Jesus' name and to give Him glory, but it really boils down to, do I know Him? Do I follow Him? See, we can find comfort in this challenging words by comparing it to what Jesus said and John recorded in chapter 10, my sheep will know my voice. The voice of the world is loud. The voice of popularity is loud. The voice of cool is loud. The voice of do what feels good is loud. The voice of the shepherd is gentle. And there is a distinction for those of us who desire to follow after Him. In my notes, I want to point out that middle school and high school students maybe have some of the most challenging days of their life recognizing these things. They want to explore. They want to party. They want to drink. They want to vape. They want to be sexually active. Why? Simply put, they want to fit in. And for those who have withstood that challenge and remain pure, we celebrate what God is doing in you and recognize that is God's plan. That's a narrow road. But can you celebrate a narrow road? I mean, that's a good thing. But it is challenging. For us, the voice of the Lord is found and heard through His Word, our Bible. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit also comes in and makes those words leap off the page directly into our heart. Following the leading and the prompting of God's presence will guide us toward that narrow gate and the road that leads to life. So why should we practice listening to the voice of God? Well, Jesus explains it this way, that this path will give us the strength to withstand the storms of life. He says this in verse 24 of chapter 7, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though that rain comes and torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on the bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Storms of life. You have you ever made plans to do something outside and then a few days looked at the forecast and realized you might have to change your plans? Rain is in the forecast. I tend to not change my plans because if there's one occupation that you can be wrong 95% of the time, it's meteorology. But, you know, we have that risk. I remember a couple of summers ago, Tammy and I were attending an outdoor wedding right here in Flushing. A great couple. In the forecast that day was rain, and so everyone that gathered in this couple's backyard had their phones out, the weather channel on, and we were looking at the radar. We knew this was going to be cutting it close. The wedding started 15 minutes late. I don't know why I never asked questions, but as soon as the bride got to the front of this beautiful crowd, again, 15 minutes late, you begin to hear ding, 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 a metal roof of the shed right next to this wedding ceremony started making all kinds of racket. And then it was ding, 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 and then it was unloading on us all. I felt so bad for that bridal company, that bridal party. They must have rehearsed the fact that this could happen. None of them flinched. Everybody else, boom, darted like cockroaches when the light turns on. We were looking for shelter anywhere we could find it. And they had no tents out there, so we were all searching for something. It was one of those moments where you just had to laugh. Rain is an inconvenience for sure, right? But Jesus wasn't just talking about any kind of rain. The NLT translation that we use today says the rain comes in torrents. We're talking about the storm of storms, the kind that seem to never end, which causes the next issue that he speaks of, floods. You know, we're a river community here in Flushing, right? So it seems like just about every spring, we're walking down to Beakey's and taking pictures of the river getting a little bit closer to the grocery store like it's never happened before. Oh, it's kind of fun. I grew up in a river community too, so I understand that. I looked up flood events for the city of Flushing and found a site that actually detailed some various flood events, and there seemed to have been a pretty big flood around here in about 1985. Anybody here and remember that? So the stats on that flood were that it caused $10 million in damages. The reason that was listed in the column there was brief torrential rains. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to make a river flood. It doesn't even have to rain in your community for your river to flood. Floods display the power of water unlike anything else. Floods can change the course of rivers and creeks. It can create brand new land masses and destroy anything in its path. Floods are nothing to mess with. But Jesus didn't stop just with floods. The storm of storms he's speaking of and describing also includes wind. I wish I would have been preaching this sermon last Sunday. We had the bouncing projector going up and down as our roof was doing this the whole morning, right? I mean, it was just one of those days where rain was going this way out the window. The wind was brutal. As a matter of fact, the Olivet crew didn't go back to Olivet because they shut them down and said, we don't want you traveling home today. It was just too windy. Wind can drive mighty ships across the ocean, and it has the power to bring mighty trees down to the ground. Casually constructed structures are no match for the power of wind, especially tornadoes or hurricanes. God proclaimed through the prophet Isaiah these words, O Israel, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. So when you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So as Jesus continues to raise the bar, even in his concluding remarks, higher and higher on this mountainside sermon, he ultimately proclaims that God's presence will always be with us when we put ourselves in position to hear from Him and build our life around His eternal principles. Many will hear the good news of Jesus, but not all will receive. Many will have access to God's love, but few will embrace it. Many will be challenged to live according to light and purity, but few will actually obey that call. The question is, where do you want to be? This is a very personal position for you today. Is your desire to be a wise builder or a foolish one? A wise builder will follow the plans established by God. But a foolish builder will follow the plans established by man. A wise builder will build on a foundation of God's word. But a foolish builder will build on a foundation of emotion. A wise builder will seek the counsel of other wise builders. A foolish builder will seek the counsel of no one. A wise builder will be blessed by the fruit of their labor into eternity. But a foolish builder may see short-term success, but will ultimately face destruction when it matters the most. Here's what I think that we can remember from Jesus' powerful conclusion in our hearts today. Practicing obedience builds on the solid foundation of Jesus' words in order to endure the storms of life. Here's one thing that I know for sure today. Storms will come to every one of you. Storms are unavoidable. Storms will come. The rain will fall. The floods will rage. The winds will pound. Will the life you have built be able to withstand those storms? With Christ, I can assure you today that you can. Putting into practice what Jesus speaks of, to love without over hatred, to live life of purity over lust, and to have hope over our worries. Those are some of the foundational blocks that you can build your life on. James warned us not putting God's word into practice, how foolish it can sound. He wrote this in the first chapter. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Can you imagine looking into a mirror and then turning around and forgetting what you look like? I mean, that's absurd. That's crazy. And yet James equates the two together. You hear God's word and don't do what it says? That's absurd. That's crazy. That is not who we are to be. How can we imagine hearing the gospel that God created you, that God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you? How can we hear that message and turn around and reject it in how we live? Is there any greater love in this world? Is there any greater power or authority in this world than one who lays down his life? It's absolutely breathtaking. It's amazing. And that's exactly how the crowd felt that day as he finished his words. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. See, the teachers that they were used to hearing would often quote other ancient teachers in order to sound more authoritative. They couldn't stand on their own two feet. But Jesus' teaching was founded on the truth of God's law, and realigning our heart and our motive to pursue that truth. So I'm going to ask you some questions today. How would you assess your spiritual foundation? How would you assess your spiritual foundation? Are there any cracks? Are there any weaknesses? Are there some areas you need to consider? What kind of spiritual home are you trying to build now? One that's just good for today, that'll get you through? Or one that is built to last? How is God challenging you to build a stronger and deeper foundation? What the hearers of the Sermon on the Mount didn't know or couldn't predict is that this teacher would one day gather his followers into a room to celebrate the Passover meal. And on this night, he would ordain two elements of this meal and bring new meaning and power in it. Jesus gathered them together, and he took the bread of that meal, and he broke it. And he gave thanks. And he gave it to them. This room was not filled with the holiest of people. this room was not filled with perfectly righteous and perfectly formed individuals. This room was not filled with men and women who had everything figured out. This room was filled with His friends, just like you and I. He took the bread and He broke it and He gave thanks and He said, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is given for you." In the context of that meal, He also took a cup. It was larger than this one. He took the cup and He gave thanks for it, and He shared it with His brothers and sisters gathered in that space and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. It is My blood, which I willingly sacrifice for you. Take and drink. And when you do, be filled with gratitude, for the love of God has come." Pastor Steve and the band is going to lead us into a song today that just is going to allow us to sit and to reflect as we sing, though, as we continue to seek His voice and we continue to seek the provision of God through His presence in our life. It is my prayer that this will be a time that we can reflect on His faithfulness, that this can be a time where we can confess our mistakes and our sin, that this may be even a time that we can draw closer to Him, and that we can decide in this moment what foundation am I building?
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.